The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Ulster Bank. For when you want business experts that get to know you, not just your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/businessmatters.
Let's go to the latest on Brexit. We've heard lots about potential food shortages in the UK if and when Brexit goes ahead in a no-deal scenario. But now leaked British government papers claim Ireland could not only face food shortages but also a 7% hit to our GDP if the UK were to leave the EU without a deal. To look at these issues, we're joined by economist Dan O'Brien and Verona Murphy, president of the Irish Road Haulage Association. But first, earlier, we caught up with Martin Tella of Copenhagen Economics, an organisation that has done a lot of analysis for the Irish government on the various Brexit scenarios. And he agrees that according to analysis that they ran in February of this year, a no-deal Brexit would cost us up to 7% of GDP in the years ahead, and the hit would be 2% here, greater than it would be in the UK itself.
Unfortunately, yes, it does. This is very much aligned with the result that we saw in our study.
When you started looking at the implications of Brexit some time ago, I'm sure you did run different scenarios. When you look at the Theresa May deal that's on the table, the one that now looks like it will be voted down in Westminster next week, but how does that play out vis-a-vis the Irish economy? Is it something that will really ease the potential pain of Brexit?
Yeah, indeed. Now, the specific proposal that is on the table now, Ms. May's plan, was not known to us back in February. But we did some scenarios that had many of the same elements, and our analysis showed that the negative impact to the Irish economy could be cut more by more than a half if an agreement was reached, keeping some of the border costs away, keeping tariffs away, reducing the scope for regulatory divergence. So that would take more than half of the negative impact on the Irish economy away. So clearly, for the Irish economy, a yes to the May proposal would be preferable.
Now, Martin Tella of Copenhagen Economics there, and I should say that the 7% hit to economic growth in the years ahead was based on no additional mitigating measures being taken by the government or by business themselves. It was very much a worst-case scenario. But Dan O'Brien, we are looking at a no-deal possibility. Are we looking at possible food shortages, do you think?
That is possible. Ireland exports more food than it imports, but we import more cereals, including flour, vegetables, including potatoes, and fodder, which we feed animals, than we export. So we're a net importer of those things. We specialize in exporting meat and dairy. So we export much more of those than we import. So if, in a worst case scenario, everything gummed up in the ports, we would find a distinct likelihood of shortages of some foods.
Verona Murphy, your members are very much in the front line of delivering all of this stuff. How prepared do you think we are? And in that kind of scenario, how long might that chaos last?
Well, I think that's what we're in, is the throes of political chaos in the UK, and it looks like it's set to continue. Our members are as prepared as ever we can be until we know what format the deal is going to take. So from a customs perspective, we are where we are. We're still in the EU. Until this deal is voted on, we don't know and can't take any action. However, I don't entirely agree with Dan. Yes, people, for instance, I've seen the landscape change of imports, such as potatoes. We import very, very few potatoes since the development and the growing of the rooster, for instance. However, there are potatoes imported for the making of crisps, probably more so. But look, I think we...
But isn't a lot of this, though, Verona, because we use the British land bridge, that so many of the products that aren't necessarily even emanating from
Indeed.
The UK, they're coming across. And how are we supposed to prepare for, in the short term, for reducing or doing away with that land bridge?
Well, I don't think we'll ever be able to do away with it, and we shouldn't. We do have quite a good relationship, regardless of the propaganda that's contained from different people within politics and the media. I would say that we are an island nation. We have two very, very functioning ports, Dublin and Rosslare, Europe. Europort. I think that that's in the name, Europort. It is our closest crossing to mainland Europe. And I think in the event of a hard Brexit, the government has gone some way in order to prepare those ports, but not nearly enough in if there's going to be a hard Brexit. The investment that was announced for Rosslare Europort, for instance, is 15 million. It needs about 50.
Dan, what about this no deal, very hard Brexit scenario? What might it look like for the Irish economy and for jobs?
Well, another aspect of this is that about a quarter of all of the, literally the nuts and bolts that Irish companies use when they're making their own things, so the inputs into the production process. So 25% of the imports of those kind of things come from the UK, and then more come via the land bridge from the continent. So it's not clear to me that every company is out there thinking, okay, do I have enough nuts and bolts in my stocks to continue producing in April if supply chains are interrupted? So that's another area specifically for businesses. We're very plugged into the UK economy in that sense. Are businesses building up their inventories of quite literally those nuts and bolts, oil products, energy products, enough to make sure they can continue producing their own stuff April, May?
What are our best case scenarios here, Dan? I mean, obviously, Martin Tella talked about the benefits, relative benefits of the May deal in reducing the damage to the Irish economy. The other scenarios on the table are second referendum. Obviously, you know, business as usual would be good, but that's not coming over the horizon anytime soon, is it?
Well, 8 a.m. on Monday morning, when people are listening to just having their cornflakes, the judges of the Supreme Court, effectively, of the European Union will make a decision on whether Britain can, on its own, without consulting Ireland or anyone else, can on its own decide to stop Brexit. And the vote on Tuesday in Westminster will be voted down. No observer thinks the withdrawal agreement as it stands will be passed. That will then, as we move towards Brexit Day, the option for Britain to simply unilaterally on their own stop the clock or pull back from Brexit will rise. So there's a possibility, and I suppose everyone here or most people here hope, that the British will simply postpone it or even cancel it. So that's the best outcome for us, that the British just decide, look, we can't go ahead with this, it's too uncertain.
In relation to the no deal, the effects, Fiona, of the no deal, the impact on the Irish economy if they crash out, talking to your members, act for a lot of very large companies that are transporting and moving stuff in and out. Do you get a sense from talking to them that they are fully aware of this as a real risk?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They are fully aware. And I mean, the biggest problem is that there isn't really much we can do to prepare. As I say, all the customs procedures, we don't have any indication of where we should be at or what we should be doing. But I still believe that it is paramount that in order to service those customers through our sector, what has to happen is that the ports are prepared. And I think that's, we're not any more prepared than we were 6 months ago, and we're only 111 days now from a possible precipice. I think the government has to take a serious look, and it won't be money misplaced or misspent. We are an island. The ports need to be developed.
So
they need the injection.
Anyway.
Well, I think that's about the only real preparation that just won't go to waste.
Finally, Dan, the Norwegian option is being talked about. Amber Rudd is the latest British Cabinet Secretary to come out in favour of it. Do you think that's a realistic proposal at this stage?
For a number of reasons, I don't. And one of them simply is that it would involve substantial rewriting of the existing withdrawal agreement. It's 585 pages. You don't, you know, rewrite 585 pages of legalese very quickly. So it's not clear to me, unless the clock is stopped, that there could be a substantial readjustment of the existing withdrawal agreement that's on the table.
Okay, Dan O'Brien and Fiona Murphy, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.